On this Feast of the Ascension, all of our readings, including the Psalms, speak to us about the dramatic departure of the Lord Jesus from this earth, that in His crucified, risen, glorified, resurrected body, He ascends into heaven and goes to the throne of God, which I alluded to last week in my homily. There He is at the throne, and He blesses us with His hand, raised in blessing. A grand departure from the earth, and yet there's an irony in that. Because although He physically departed from us, spiritually He drew ever closer to us than ever before. And He does that through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the reading of the Ascension in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "I will be with you to the end of the age." And that's His promise to us. That although He physically departed, He would never leave our side. That He would always be with us. But how does that happen? Well, look at the Gospel today. He says, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So He tells the disciples to be patient, to watch, to keep vigil, and be ready for the sending of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that would empower them through His presence in their lives to do the ministry of the church, to proclaim that gospel to the ends of the earth. Remember in the Gospels that we've had in the last couple weeks that talk about how God desires to dwell within us. And He desires to dwell within us through the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit. That is how Jesus is ever close to us. Jesus' closeness to us happens and is sustained really in two fundamental ways. Two very basic ways that are interrelated in themselves, but two ways. The first way is through our prayer, through our personal life of prayer that hopefully we engage in every single day. When we can encounter the presence of the Lord Jesus in our lives, where He draws close to us, we draw close to Him out of love. And we have a communion of mind and heart with Him. And then also in our public prayer, through living the sacramental life of the church, particularly in the Eucharist, in the sacraments, all the sacraments, but particularly the Eucharist, where we literally consume Him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. So yes, the Lord physically departed, but ever stays close to us in our prayer and in the sacraments. I'm going to speak about that more next week on the Feast of Pentecost. But this week I want to touch upon the other key way in which the Lord draws close to us, and that is through the church. Now I'm not talking about church small c, the church building, although He is present here in the building itself. But too often now we think of the church as just church buildings with crosses on top, you know? And other times we think of church capital C, meaning the institutional church, the visible, tangible church that we see with the Pope and the bishops and the priests and the deacons and the hierarchy and the teachings and the doctrine of the church. We see the visible, tangible, institutional church. But most importantly, more fundamentally than that, is the church as the body of Christ, that St. Paul spoke of in our second reading. That the baptized, those who are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are disciples of the Lord, form a communion, a unity, that we are His body, part of His body, and He is our head. And that the head and the body are never to be separated. So that He literally dwells with us as we are part of Him. Pope Pius XII, I think, spoke most beautifully about it when he described the body of Christ as the mystical body of the Christ, the intangible spiritual body, that we are ever connected. So that the baptized here at St. Mark's Church are in communion with the baptized at St. Luke's, and at St. Luke's in New York City, and St. Luke's in Dallas, and St. Luke's in Spain, and Portugal, and France, and Italy, and Mozambique, and Syria, and all where the faithful gather for the celebration of the sacraments, that we are in communion in included in the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, no matter where we are, that we are truly part of something very, very big. And it is using the gifts of the Holy Spirit that make us part of that body of Christ that the gospel continues to get proclaimed each and every day across the world. That's kind of the big picture of the church. Saint Teresa of Avila began to bring that big concept of the mystical body of Christ down a little bit so to our understanding in a very beautiful poetic prayer. And in that prayer she says this: Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. That's a very, I think, poetic description of the mystical body of Christ. That we are part of the mystery of the church, invisible and visible, all at the same time. In all of its glory and in all of its messiness as well. It's a very Benedictine concept that when someone knocks on the monastery door, you are to receive them as Christ himself. That's putting St. Teresa's prayer into practice a little bit. Someone else who put it into practice was another saint, a saint that will soon be recognized officially as a saint, fairly soon, but someone who did not start out on the path to sainthood at all in her life. I'm speaking about the Venerable Dorothy Day. She began her life religiously as an atheist. Her political and philosophical life, she was a communist. So she didn't believe in the communion of the body of Christ that raises us up to God. She believed in the collective of the people that kind of keeps us just down, right? All the same. That's who she was. She believed in that wholeheartedly. And it led to a miserable life. Until she had a conversion in the late 1920s and was baptized just after Christmas, I believe in 1927, I'm not exactly sure of the date. But she had an amazing conversion and transformation. And it was soon after that, that through the gift of the Holy Spirit given to her, she lived the prayer of St. Teresa of Avila. She formed the Catholic Worker Movement. And the Catholic Worker Movement began to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, shelter those with no homes, and began in New York City and has spread across the world, all over the world. But by just doing the corporal works of mercy, in and of themselves, was not enough for her. It was sustained and is sustained today by something else very, very important, and that is the life of prayer that I also mentioned, the second thing in which Jesus kind of lives and dwells among us. A writer that has written a lot about Dorothy Day, Jim Forrest, relates this little story about her. He says, "When I think of her first of all on her knees, praying before the Blessed Sacrament. I think of those long lists of names she kept of people, living and dead, to pray for. I think of her at Mass. I think of her praying the Rosary. I think of her going off to confession each Saturday evening. We feed the hungry, yes," she said. "We try to shelter the homeless and give them clothes. But there is a strong faith at work here. We pray. If an outsider who comes to visit us doesn't pay attention to our prayings and what that means, then he'll miss the whole point." For Dorothy Day, the whole point was prayer. For Dorothy Day, the whole point was the Lord Jesus. Anything else just had no point to it at all. And the same is true for the church in our day as well. And all the different ministries of the church, whether it's the Catholic Worker Movement or St. Vincent de Paul, or the Legion of Mary, all those who are engaged in the corporal works of mercy, the Gabriel Project, the Respect Life Committee. Everything that comprises the ministries of the church are sustained fundamentally in the life of prayer, private and public prayer, because it is in that way in which the Lord dwells within us, so that we can be sure that we are accomplishing His work and not our work. Because if we're just accomplishing our work, then we're like the collective, right? We're like communists. And we don't want to be communists. We want to be Christians, the body of Christ, doing this work. Last week I mentioned to you, or a week or so ago, I mentioned to you about the flood that we had in Chehalis. And I think about the way in which the church, the visible church, was present down there. And in the months after the flood, the Catholic Church gave well over $1 million in relief to the residents of Lewis County. And the same is true with regard to the people of Snohomish County who were affected by the landslides of a few years ago. It is the Catholic Church that is generally the last one standing to give out help to those who need it when disasters happen. The same is true for those who are becoming our young priests in the church, in the seminary formation that it takes to form them into holy men. That comes from the church. It comes from you as the body of Christ. I think about the ministry that I was a chaplain at the Western Washington University Newman Center. Our ministry was funded by you, by the body of Christ in Western Washington. And when you think about, well, what's the fruit of that? Do we just provide Mass for a bunch of young people at college? Well, no. We helped form them into disciples. And they're right here among us, here in our own parish, and in parishes across the archdiocese. Some have become priests. Some have become religious sisters. Some have become teachers and youth ministers. Others, moms and dads, raising families. And they're right here. They're here from our ministry right here at St. Mark. And they're here because of you and your generosity and in your contribution to the wider church. Each and every year we have the opportunity to commit ourselves to the annual Catholic Appeal. And I want to invite you to make sure that you do that again this year. A couple weeks ago you should have received in the mail this envelope from the Archbishop if you gave last year. And I did. And each and every year I have procrastinated. And I have not turned this envelope in until this year, when I got it in the mail, and the very next day I sent it in. Because I figured I need to do something if I'm going to witness to you. I need to do this right, okay? Rather than just kind of slink up here every and say, well, I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to do it, you know. I don't want to be like you guys, all right? I want to inspire you guys to do better. But I want you to participate in this appeal because it is so very important. It's the way in which the mystical body of Christ becomes visible in our own time. We have a parish goal each year. Each year we surpass that goal. And so I hope that this year we'd also surpass that goal. And everything that we do to surpass that goal comes back to us, primarily for our capital projects here. It's part of our each budget each year for all the things that need to be done to keep our small church buildings running and looking good each and every year. So I would invite you to take some time. If you didn't get the envelope, it means you didn't contribute last year. So they're in the pews for you here this year. Pick one up. Take it home. Fill it out. Contribute online. Mail it in. Bring it in the basket. Whatever you want to do. But do it today so that you can participate in the life and the ministry of the church in this way. It is the way in which the invisible mystical church is made present and visible. It is the way in which the gospel is continued to be preached down through time and space in our own community and beyond. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.